The corrupt elements are likely to get scot-free once again. Pandora Papers scandal is likely to die down in Pakistan given the fact that this time around the powerful military seems to have no appetite to play its role to oust the current government, unlike in 2017 when the military fully backed the judiciary to oust the then Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif after he clashed with the army on issues linked with the foreign policy. Javed Rana, Islamabad.
Al-Qassam Brigades, the military wing of Palestinian resistance movement Hamas, has held a huge festival in the Gaza Strip to commemorate five Palestinians who were murdered in Al-Quds and the West Bank a week ago. Hundreds of Palestinians attended the festival, raising Palestinian flags and banners, hailing the Palestinian resistance and the martyrs.
These events, held in praise of our Palestinian martyrs and their families in the West Bank, those heroes prove that the rights of Palestinians are red lines. Palestinian resistance movements are gathered here stressing that we're all united in this battle against Israeli occupation, and the resistance will always be our only path to restore our rights.
Earlier, Israeli forces conducted a series of arrest raids against suspected Hamas members across the occupied West Bank, triggering clashes in which five Palestinians were killed and two Israeli soldiers were seriously wounded.
We are proud of the martyrs who lost their lives while defending Palestine. Our message to the Israeli regime is that we will continue to resist and teach the new generations to follow the footsteps of those who sacrificed everything for Palestine. The Israeli regime keeps killing and arresting our people in the West Bank on a daily basis, and these violations must be seriously dealt with.
Palestinian resistance leaders also attended the festival. In their speeches, Hamas leaders stressed that the resistance is the only option for dealing with the Israeli occupiers. They also stressed the need for promoting the spirit of resistance among new generations so they continue to fight until the rights of Palestinians are fully restored.
Palestinians here stick with resistance to restore our rights in a forceful manner, as this is the only way to defend Palestine. Those martyrs chose their path and insisted on sacrificing themselves for Palestine. Hamas stresses that we are all united in the path of resistance, and the Israeli regime must be aware that we won't give up. Our brothers in the West Bank always support us, and in return, we will defend them.
Palestinian factions here express their loyalty to the Palestinian martyrs who have lost their lives defending Palestine and vowed that their blood won't go in vain. They also express that the battle against this occupation is ongoing until complete freedom. Ruba Shabit, Gaza.
Assessory Appeals Court suspended a hearing regarding the extradition to Spain of former Catalan separatist leader Carles Puigdemont. The Italian judges have determined that a rule on the matter will be made after the European Court of Justice announces its verdict on Puigdemont's immunity. The politician's immunity, linked to his election as a member of the European Parliament, was lifted earlier this year by the EU General Court.
Catalan separatist leader Puigdemont is wanted by Madrid on charges of sedition for leading a Catalan bid to declare independence from Spain in October 2017. Separatists' short-lived declaration of independence triggered a major political crisis with Spain, during which Puigdemont and several others fled abroad.
Italy's judges have made their call, and now it's up to the European Court of Justice to make theirs. The case is also a test of judicial cooperation between European countries, which have ruled differently on the same issue.
A German court refused to extradite Puigdemont to Spain on rebellion charges in 2018, simply arguing that the Catalan leader was not punishable under German law. Some Italian lawmakers have slammed Puigdemont's arrest in Sardinia last month, saying it was a dark page in Italy's democracy.
The arrest of a politician whose only wrongdoing, in inverted commas, was organizing democratic elections is a worrying signal. If this is how we deal with forces that gather the support of millions of people against central governments, we should all be worried.
The Sassari court will set a new date after the European Court of Justice decides on the immunity of Puigdemont and on the legitimacy of the Spanish judge to issue the arrest warrant. Meanwhile, Puigdemont is free to travel as he pleases. For the time being, Max Civili, Rome.
Palestinians rallied on Monday in front of the Red Cross office in Gaza in solidarity with thousands of prisoners held in Israeli jails and detention centers. The event comes as several Palestinian political prisoners continue their hunger strike to protest their inhumane conditions. Suffering of Palestinian prisoners has multiplied following last month's heroic escape of six prisoners from Gilboa, a maximum security prison in occupied northern Palestine.
Following the historic escape of several inmates from the Gilboa prison, Zionist forces have placed all Palestinian prisoners under unprecedented, deplorable conditions. Many of them have been placed under solitary confinement and were tortured over suspicion that they had helped the six prisoners. Currently, the prisoners are subjected to 60 types of punishments inside Israeli jails and detention centers, which is a clear violation of international laws and norms.
Last month alone, the Israeli regime forces arrested 350 Palestinians, including 36 children and 11 women. Rights activists say Palestinians held in Israeli jails will continue to suffer as long as the world keeps turning a blind eye to Tel Aviv's violations of their rights.
Prisoners on hunger strike are suffering as the world keeps turning a blind eye to Israeli violations against Palestinians. Some of the prisoners have been on hunger strike for more than 80 days. We call on the International Committee of the Red Cross to exert real pressure on the Israeli regime to end its systematic violation of prisoners' rights, especially women and children.
Every Monday for the last 30 years, Gazans have staged protests outside the office of the Red Cross to condemn Israel's inhumane treatment of thousands of Palestinians incarcerated in 24 Israeli jails. Palestinian prisoners resort to hunger strike to draw attention to their suffering, especially under Israel's so-called administrative detention, a policy under which people are held for an indefinite period without charge.
We are here to support Palestinians who lost their freedom while fighting for Al-Quds and for the liberation of Palestine. I call on Arabs to wake up and support the Palestinian prisoners. The prisoners need re-election to highlight their ongoing suffering inside Zionist jails.
Palestinians are calling on the international community to come out of its silence and help their loved ones who were incarcerated illegally by the Israeli regime.
Currently, there are over 500 Palestinians jailed without charge or trial under administrative detention. The Israeli regime has arrested almost 1 million Palestinians since 1967. Ashraf Shana, Gaza.
يا ابن الحسن يا ابن الحسن أجرك الله في مصيبة جدك علي ابن موسى.
Heaven in grief.
In the name of God, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear listeners, welcome to the program Heaven in Grief. We express our condolences for the martyrdom of Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam. And today we're going to talk about Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam with the presence of Dr. Abbas Ali Shamli. Welcome to the program and salam alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. My salams to yourself, Mr. Namazi, and all brothers and sisters in faith while listening to this program.
Thank you. Dr. Shamli, the word Reza, which is specific for Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, has a lot of meanings.
Yeah.
I think there's a hadith from the Prophet which explains what Raza means. Would you elaborate on that hadith, please?
Inshallah. Thank you very much. I also myself, I express my condolences for the sad occasion of martyrdom of Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha al-Murtada, Sultan al-Ard, our beloved eighth Imam for all Shia Imamis all over the world. Imam is entitled with this very great title, Ar-Ridha. Ar-Ridha in the Arabic terminology means satisfaction. When you are satisfied with something, with yourself, with life, with your parents, with your job, with your future, you are radi, satisfied. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran in different verses explains, reveals that good, faithful people come to this high level of dedication, which is called position of satisfaction. Radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu. Satisfaction is a mutual relationship between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The position of rida means you are happy and satisfied with what happens in your life. Of course, we need to be very careful not to attribute the result of our shortcomings and our faults to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah.
Sometimes we go by chance, we go by sudden, we go without any planning, without having program. Plan and program are two keys for success, for happiness, for satisfaction. So, number one, we need to be careful to use our ability cognitively, emotionally, and to consult with the people who are expert in different fields for the jobs, for the affairs, for the issues that we are dealing with. This is number one. But when you do your best, you have your planning, you have your program, you have your process of conduction, but sometimes you do not arrive at the purpose, at the target that you predicted. Don't worry. It's not the end of life. Life is providing you lessons. You realize that you made a mistake. You need to change the way. You need to change your mind. Okay? But satisfaction in terms of Imam Ali ibn Musa salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi is a mystical, religious understanding. The position of satisfaction is the highest level of dedication before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu. Some people come to a point, come to a position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with them. They are obedient. Wa radu anhu. And these people are also are happy with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings in their life. Imam Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, in different steps of his movement in Karbala, was providing this fact, this principle. Ridha Allah, ridhana ahl al-bayt. Satisfaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the scale, is the criterion for us. All movements, all activities of us is based on what? Divine satisfaction. Before we enter to any activity, we look. Is it based on satisfaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala satisfied with us, with this activity, with this movement? Then we go through. If not, we withdraw. We have a very nice story from Imam Baqir salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Once Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari got sick, very sick in house. Imam visited him and said, how do you do? How do you feeling? Kayfa asbahta? How do you do? Jabir said, Imam, I was with you for a long time, with Prophet Muhammad as a companion, with Ali ibn Abi Talib, with Hassan ibn Ali, with Hussein,
he had a long
with
time.
Ali ibn al-Hussein, and with you. I have experienced six infallibles. And during this long, long time, I have realized, I have understood that good servant before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who come to the point of patience. position of patience. Maqam al-sabr, patience. Good, dedicated servant is the one who comes to the point of al-sabr, position of patience. Imam said, what do you mean by patience? Jaber said, by patience, I mean I like sickness better than health. I like poverty better than wealth. And he started counting some, you know, negative aspects of life. Death better than life. You know, all these types of negative aspects. Sickness, poverty. Imam said, why? Jaber said, because good servant is the one who comes to the position of patience. Maqam al-sabr. Imam said, no, this is not the lifestyle of Ahlul Bayt. Lifestyle of Ahlul Bayt is based on divine satisfaction. Maqam al-rida, la maqam al-sabr. Position of satisfaction, not position of patience. And Jaber said, what do you mean by position of satisfaction? Imam said, a good servant before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is happy with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings for him or her. If wealth, you accept it. If poverty, you accept it. If sickness, you go through. If health, you go through. So look, you do your best. Don't go by chance. Don't go by sudden. You do your best. But whatever comes to your life, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be happy with that. And Imam Ali ibn Musa salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi was located at the position of ar-ridha. This is the highlighted characteristic of Imam. But historically, there are some other meanings. For example, the Abbasid Caliph called Imam Imam ar-ridha not because of his satisfaction before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a highly degree of dedication before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said the movement of Abbasid is because of, you know, providing satisfaction to Ali Muhammad. And the very slogan that they put on their flags, Ar-Ridha min Ali Muhammad. We are seeking satisfaction of Ali Muhammad. But unfortunately, they started with this slogan and collected the attention of people, and afterwards they marginalized the infallible imams, including Imam Ali ibn Musa, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. And one more point, Brother Namazi. Today, in present life, we are busy, and indeed we are suffering from a point that we are not educated based on Islamic instructions. Always, always we run. We run after, okay, motivation, activity and efforts is good. But we have to have our plan. We have to divide our time. To what extent for this life? What about hereafter? What about spiritual aspect? You just run after this world. Cars, houses, luxury life and this. So we just invest all life for what? This is something that we need. This is, I believe, a lesson that we could take from the life of Imam Ali ibn Musa salawatullahi wa salam. Life satisfaction. Life satisfaction means you have your plan, you do your best, but don't put the whole.
You're satisfied with whatever Allah destines for you.
After you have your planning, your efforts, but don't exhaust yourself.
Yeah.
Don't exhaust. You know, put some for this world and some for hereafter.
Thank you, Doctor Shamli, for your elaboration on the word ar-ridha. Now, let's take a break, and after a short break, would you please recite maqtal for us about Imam ar-ridha alayhi salam. So, dear listeners, we'll take a break, and we'll be right back.
As-salamu alayk, ya abal hasan.
We're talking about Imam ar-Ridha alayhi salam with Dr. Abbas Ali Shamili, Dr. Shamli, would you please recite a maqtal for us about Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam?
Yes, thank you very much. Indeed, these days, we feel pain. We feel sadness because of the sad occasion of martyrdom of Imam Ali ibn Musa. As Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba offered to us, ما منا إلا مسموم أو مقتول. None of the Imams died in their normal way, whether they were imprisoned or they were put into martyrdom. So it provides a lesson of grief and sorrow for us, because we feel loser. We lost the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and A'imma, the infallible Imams, are the gifts, are the refuge for all of us.
All the sufferings we have is because we don't have them.
Exactly.
Present.
Exactly. And in Da al-Iftitah, we normally recite, Allahumma inna nashku ilayka faqda nabiyyan. We lost our Prophet and we lost the infallible Imams, one after another. And nowadays, we don't have any refuge to come to put our burden. Which gate?
To ask our questions.
To ask our question. To be released from the pains and the stresses of this life. So let me provide you some statements about the sad occasion of the imprisonment and martyrdom of our mazloom Imam, our kind Imam, the Imam who was entitled by Ar-Ridha and Ra'uf, not only satisfied but also very kind, the Imam, the leader of kindness in the whole world. So we need to express our condolences to Imam Mahdi Abdullah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif and share him with all these pains. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على علي بن موسى الرضا المرتضى الإمام التقي النقي وحجتك على من فوق الأرض ومن تحت الثرى الصديق الشهيد صلاة كثيرة تامة زاكية متواصلة متواترة مترادفة كأفضل ما صليت على أحد من أوليائك صلى الله عليك يا أبا الحسن يا علي بن موسى صلى الله عليك وعلى روحك وبدنك صبرت واحتسبت وأنت الصادق المصدق قتل الله من قتلك ولعن الله من ظلمك بالأيدي والألسان يا علي بن موسى أيها الرضا Imam Ali al-Ridha called and summoned his helper Aba Salt al-Hirawi and explained to him the exact place, the exact point of his grave, where to be buried, and the way that he must be buried. Imam explained to Abu Sa'd. Then Imam told Abu Sa'd, be aware that he will be invited by Ma'mun, the Abbasid Caliph, tomorrow. He added, it will take me a while to be in his office, the office of Ma'mun. When I came back, look carefully. If I have covered my head, don't talk to me. I'm in poison. It is a sign that I'm in poison. If not, come forward and stay with me. I will be ready to talk to you. So look at my hair. Is it covered or uncovered? Abu Sa'd said, the day after, it was early morning after Fajr prayer. Imam was dressed up and ready in his praying place, mihrab, waiting for Ma'mun's servants to come and pick him up. They arrived. They arrived and requested Imam to go with them to Ma'mun. Abu Sa'd states, I was with Imam up to the gate of Ma'mun's palace. Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi entered in, and it was a well-prepared session with several tables of fresh fruits. This is the explanation of Abu Sa'd. Ma'mun was eating grapes. When he saw Imam Ali ibn Musa salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi, he jumped and ran to Imam and hugged him tightly and warmly. He kissed Imam's forehead and in between of his eyes and respected Imam by all means, showing that I love Imam. And there were people around. He then took Imam to his special seat and afforded him a cluster, a bunch of grapes, and said, O the son of Rasulullah, I have not seen such a good fresh grapes like this. Help yourself, please. Imam said, may the grapes of heaven be much better than this. Ma'mun again asked Imam to eat some, and Imam replied, that's okay for me. I do not take it now. Let me not eat grapes now. Ma'mun insisted and finally said, you have to take some. Don't you trust me, O my cousin? I'm your cousin, and I have provided and proved my sincerity to you since a long, long time. Then he took a cluster and offered it to Imam alayhi salam. To show his honesty and righteousness, he took some seeds very carefully and gave the rest to Imam. Imam took the cluster. By his insistence, Imam took three or four seeds and put it in his mouth. And by all sudden, he went sick. His face got yellow and white, and he stood up shivering and started to go home. Ma'mun said, oh my cousin, why so soon? Where do you go now? Imam kept silent. Imam kept silent and said, I'm going to the place that you sent me to. Imam covered his head and walked out of room. Ya Rasulallah, Ya Rasulallah, Ajarakallah, Ajarakallah, Ya Ibn al-Hasan, Ya Ibn al-Hasan, Ajarakallah fi musibat jaddika Ali ibn Musa. Abu Sa'd says, I did not talk to Imam when I saw him in that painful manner. He covered his head, walking slowly. Imam could hardly walk till he arrived at his home gate. He asked me to close and lock all the doors. He walked
into his bedroom and laid down on his bed. I was listening. There was a painful voice. I'm thirsty. I feel thirsty. I'm thirsty. I feel thirsty. Abbasad says, I was waiting outside, sad and upset, knowing no what to do, knowing not what to do, impatiently. By all sudden, I came to see an adolescent boy inside the yard going to Imam's bedroom. He was exclusively handsome, shining like a full moon. Very similar in face to Imam Ali al-Ridha. Very similar in face to Imam Ali al-Ridha. I approach him, asking, "Who are you, man? How could you come inside while all the doors were locked? All doors are locked. I locked them myself. How could you come in?" The boy said, "The one who brought me from Medina to Tus by only 1 second, he enabled me to enter from locked doors. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah." "Who are you?" I asked. He replied, "The proof of Allah upon you and upon all faithful people. I am Muhammad. I am Muhammad bin Ali al-Jawad al-Taqi, your Imam and the Imam of all faithful. I have come to see my lonely, helpless, and empoisoned death." "I have come to see my lonely, helpless, and empoisoned death." Then he ran to Imam's bedroom. When Imam Ridha salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi looked at his young boy, he stood up. He stood up like Prophet Jacob, who hugged his Yusuf. He kindly pressed his son on his chest and kissed him in between of his eyes and took him into his bed. It was not in room. Took Imam into his bed. They started looking and staring nicely one another for a while. It was a silence. It was a long silence. Then Imam Ridha salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi approached his son, whispered him for a long, long time. He provided something to his son, afforded all secrets as his successor. Then Imam Jawab salamullahi ta'ala alayhi walked up, requested me to prepare needs for ghusl and wrapping fabrics. By all of my surprise, I saw inside house, in yard, things that I had not seen them up to that moment. Imam Jawad washed the body of his dad in the best possible way, wrapped him up, and put the body on an existing heavenly throne. The body flew into the heaven, and Imam Jawad told me, "My father Ali al-Ridha joined his grandfather, Prophet Muhammad, his father Ali ibn Abi Talib, and his mom, Fatima al-Zahra, in heaven." Then after a while, the body appeared again on the yard. Imam took the body out and put him on his bed and requested me to open the gate. Imam Jawad said, "Ma'amun and his people are waiting outside. Go and open the gate and don't talk about this issue." Yet the lonely Imam, "We need to cry and weep for your grandfather, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein." An Imam whose body was left behind on the hot sands of Nineveh for 3 days and 2 nights. O Imam Ali al-Ridha, your body was in cover, done ghusl, and was covered by your son. But the body of your grandfather Imam Hussein was left behind on the hot sands of Nineveh for 3 days and 2 nights, unburied and alone. Angels were making shadow and mourning. Not the holy body of Hussein be burned up in that hot weather in Karbala. There is no life without Hussein. How can we live without Hussein? Hussein, Hussein, Ya Hussein, the love of Fatima, the light of Mustafa, Hussein is our Imam. Hussein is our Imam. As-salamu ala Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha al-Murtada wa ala abaihi wa abnaihi. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Thank you, Dr. Shamli, for this nice maqtal. And dear listeners, we'd like to express our condolences again to you for the martyrdom of Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam. And thank you for listening to Heaven in Grief. Till next time, goodbye.
Allahumma salli ala Ali ibn Musa ar-Ridha al-Murtada. Al-Imam al-Taghi al-Naghi wa hujjatika ala man fawqa al-ardi wa man tahta al-thara. As-Siddiq al-Shahid salatan kathir تامة زاكية متواصلة متواترة مترابطة كأفضل ما صليت على
at IRIB English Radio express our heartfelt condolences to all our listeners on the occasion of 30th of Safar, the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Reza, peace be upon him, the 8th infallible successor to Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny.
In the limelight. U.S. Senator Mitch McConnell and Republican leader in the Senate has a long record of tying debt ceiling increases to policy demands. The article you're about to hear has been written by the New York Times journalists Jonathan Wiseman and Emily Cochrane. The piece is titled, As the U.S. Hurtles Towards a Debt Crisis, what does McConnell want? Stay with us for more. U.S. Senator Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader in the Senate, has a long record of tying debt ceiling increases to policy demands. In March 2006, as the government veered dangerously close to a default, Senator Mitch McConnell, the number two Republican at the time, let the Bush White House know he was two votes short of what he needed to raise the legal limit on federal borrowing. Andrew H. Card Jr., then the White House chief of staff, began working the phones. He soon found two Democrats willing to break ranks and vote to put the legislation over the top. But instead of thanking him, the Senate leader grew irate. Mitch McConnell had been hoping to extract concessions from President George W. Bush as the price for uniting Republicans around lifting the debt limit. "I don't need your votes," he snapped at Andrew Card. He lifted the debt ceiling with Republicans only. Andrew Card never learned what the Kentucky Republican Mitch McConnell wanted, but he tells the story for a reason. Senator Mitch McConnell has long used the periodic need to raise the government's borrowing limit as a moment of leverage to secure a policy win, as have leaders of both political parties. But 2 weeks before a potentially catastrophic debt default, Mitch McConnell, now the minority leader in the Senate, has yet to reveal what he wants, telling President Joe Biden in a letter on Monday, 4th of October, "We have no list of demands." Instead, he appears to want to sow political chaos for Democrats while insulating himself and other Republicans from an issue that has the potential to divide them. Mr. McConnell has said the government must not be allowed to stop paying its debts. He has also said he will not let any Republicans vote to raise the debt limit, while moving to block Democrats from doing so themselves. He plans to do so again on Wednesday, when the Senate will vote on whether to take up the legislation to raise the debt ceiling until December of 2022. If any Republicans object, it will take 60 votes to move forward, meaning that 10 GOP senators would have to join Democrats in doing so. No one really expects those Republican votes to materialize. Mitch McConnell has prescribed a single alternative for Democrats: use a complicated budget process known as reconciliation to maneuver around the Republican filibuster that he refuses to lift. "They need to do this, they have the time to do it, and the sooner they get about it, the better," he said on Tuesday. He even seemed to taunt Democrats a day after President Biden told Republicans they need to stop playing Russian roulette with the U.S. economy. Mitch McConnell, in his signature deadpan, looked into the television cameras on Capitol Hill to implore Democrats not to play Russian roulette with the American economy. Hardball tactics by Republicans on the debt ceiling are not new. Showdowns in 1995 and 1996 shut down the government but also helped foster a balanced budget agreement. A new Republican House majority in 2011 pushed the government so close to default that Standard & Poor's downgraded once unassailable U.S. debt, but it also produced the Budget Control Act, which crimped spending for years. The 2006 showdown has been used by both political parties as an object lesson. Mitch McConnell has pointed to it to show that partisanship is nothing new. Among the no votes on the debt ceiling increase that year were Senators Joseph R. Biden Jr. and Barack Obama. Democrats point to what they say is the more obvious lesson. They let the vote go through on a narrow majority with no filibuster. The same can be said for partisan debt ceiling increases passed in May of 2003 and November of 2004. This year is different, Not only are Republicans refusing to vote for the measure, they're creating an obstacle to stop Democrats from pushing it through themselves. There's still time for 10 Republicans to join us, no matter what some of the extremists on the hard right think, Senator Chuck Schumer of New York, the majority leader in the Senate, pleaded the day before the Wednesday vote to move to his debt ceiling bill. Senator Angus King of Maine, a moderate independent, sounded despondent. There's no bargaining, they're just stamping their feet and saying no. He added, it's a qualitatively new level of irresponsibility. With no overt policy demands to be met as the price for cooperation, Democrats say for Republicans, the chaos is the point, or at least a vague hope that the latest legislative crisis will somehow undermine Democrats' ability to fulfill unrelated parts of Joe Biden's agenda, especially an expensive bill to combat climate change and revive the fraying social safety net. Democrats are preparing another staggering taxing and spending spree without any Republican input or support, Mitch McConnell wrote on Monday. Bipartisanship is not a light switch that Speaker Nancy Pelosi and leader Chuck Schumer may flip on to borrow money and flip off to spend it. Given that the switch is currently off, he argues, Democrats have only one path forward. The Senate Budget Committee must produce a resolution that includes instructions to raise the debt ceiling, which must then pass the House and Senate, and weather a barrage of hostile amendments. Then the House must draft a vote on a separate bill to lift the debt ceiling, which would then go to the Senate, where it could not be filibustered, but would again have to survive an onslaught of politically difficult votes. Any proposal could be considered, and if any were adopted, the measure would be forced back to the House. And they have fewer than 14 days to do it. Democrats are left to seethe at their opponents' tactics. Mitch McConnell is singularly focused on winning control of the Senate in the 2022 midterm elections, full stop, said Senator Chris Van Hollen, Democrat of Maryland and a longtime budget expert. To his mind, that means using every tactic at his disposal to cause President Biden to fail, even if that hurts the country. Mitch McConnell has another powerful political incentive for his stance. He cannot control his members and is reluctant to risk the ire of Republican base voters by leaning on senators to smooth the way for a debt limit increase. Even if Mitch McConnell wanted to allow one to come to a majority vote, a single senator could stop it. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, who has made no secret of his presidential ambitions, said on Tuesday that he would block any such agreement, even one to expedite the process that McConnell is demanding. Mitch McConnell appeared to acknowledge his own tricky political position on Tuesday when he said that ending the filibuster threat would require getting consent from every single Republican, and he added, I can't imagine that would happen. Senator Roy Blunt, Republican of Missouri, said 40 to 45 Republicans would be willing to agree to allow a debt ceiling increase to come to a vote, as long as they did not have to cast a public ballot. The problem, he said, was the other five. Senator Brian Schatz, Democrat of Hawaii, seemed almost relieved that Mitch McConnell had not put Democrats in a position where they would have to give in to conservative policy demands to stave off a Congress-imposed economic catastrophe. I have learned over many years that we cannot negotiate over things like whether or not to destroy the economy, Mr. Schatz said, adding, American politics has gone crazy because one party has gone crazy. With each passing day, the crisis becomes less avoidable. Each day, Democrats decline to give in to Mitch McConnell's demands to use the reconciliation process makes it that much more difficult for the maneuver to be completed in time to avoid a debt default. And each day, the Democrats demand that Republicans blink. They replied that Democrats are to blame for not using the process of reconciliation when they had time to do so. You still have time before you get to the edge of the cliff, Mr. Card said, of the current debt ceiling showdown, and that time should be used for dialogue. How will it end? One option that Mr. Van Hollen said Democrats might have to pursue, and that President Biden on Tuesday called a real possibility, is changing the filibuster rules so the borrowing limit increase, and any in the future, could pass with 50 votes. Mr. King, who has been unenthusiastic about changing the rules, said he had to agree. I have been very reluctant for 9 years about modifying the filibuster rule, especially when it comes to policy, but this has nothing to do with policy, he said. This is about keeping the United States and the world out of what could be a severe recession.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamate is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism. This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars. In the book The Inner Voice, Allama Sayyid Said Akhtar Rizvi aptly explains the need for a man to understand his purpose in life and to be able to ponder over some of the important aspects of our journey in reaching nearness to Allah. Today, we will read to you an excerpt of this book. Stay with us. Unity of God. Say, He is Allah, the One and Only, Allah the Eternal. Absolute, He begetteth not, nor He is begotten, and there is none like unto Him. Quran, Surah 112. This short surah of the Holy Quran is the most significant of all writings dealing with the oneness of God. As Allama Abdullah Yusuf Ali has commented in his translation of the Holy Book, the nature of God has been indicated here in a few words, such as we can understand. He writes, Here, we are specially taught to avoid the pitfalls into which man and nations have fallen at various times in trying to understand God. The first thing we have to note is that His nature is so sublime, so far beyond our limited conceptions, that the best way in which we can realize Him is to feel that he is a personality. He, and not a mere abstract conception of philosophy. Secondly, he is the one and only God, the only one to whom worship is due. All other things or beings that we can think of are his creatures and in no way comparable to him. Thirdly, he is eternal, without beginning or end, absolute, not limited by time or place or circumstance. The reality before which all other things or places are mere shadows or reflections. Fourthly, we must not think of him as having a son or a father, for that would be to import animal qualities into our conception of him. Fifthly, he is not like any other person or thing that we know or can imagine. His qualities and nature are unique. In fact, this short surah is a declaration of war against all ideas of paganism and anthropomorphism. Men from the beginning have had a tendency to imagine God in their own image. Some thought of him as having a body like animals or human beings. Others thought that he was incarnated in the forces of nature like rain, lightning, mountain, and river. Still others thought that he was a father and had child or children. But this surah warns us against this tendency to conceive God after our own pattern. Thank you so much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Ulama Speech, which was an excerpt from the book Inner Voice by Allama Sayyid Said Akhtar Rizvi. Our website is parstoday.com. Until next time, we leave you in Allah's care.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily around the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 41 meters, 7,410 kilohertz, every day from 15:20 to 16:20 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 19:20 to 20:20 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5 and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@ irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.